Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome here from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit today. It's great to have you worshipping with us. Today's the third Sunday in Lent, and in our Lent series we are focusing on God's promises. The many promises that God has made to us, the promises that are everlasting. Today we're going to hear about God's guidance given to us in the Ten Commandments and how we find the fulfillment and satisfaction that comes with aligning ourselves with God's purposes for our lives. Reverend Andrew Sankey is our preacher and his sermon is called Promised Guidance. Today's also the first Sunday of the month, so we're going to break bread together. So I invite you to have some bread or a biscuit and a glass of water or something else to drink to hand. And if you need to, pause the video right now as you go to get something. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Will you please join me in our call to worship? Your parts are in white, appearing on the screen right now. In the days of Moses, the words of God were written on tablets of stone as a sign of the covenant between God and all God's people. In the tablets of stone, we see the signs of God's hope for each to live in peace with God and neighbour. God's covenant continues. God's kingdom comes near. As we journey through Lent, we turn back to God. We come seeking forgiveness, healing, and wholeness. And so, as we begin our service, let us praise the Lord. Our opening hymn is number 86. Praise the Lord, you heavens, adore him. Praise the Lord, for he has spoken, for our guidance he has made, laws that never shall be broken. Let us come now before God in prayer. Liberating God, in love you have set us free, free from slavery to sin and self, free to know and love you, free to follow and serve you. We praise you for your faithful love towards us and for the many ways you have demonstrated that love to us. We see your love in the natural world around us, in the sky and trees and rivers. We see your love in the gift of your commandments, the rules for living that guide us into right relationship with you and with the people around us. And we see your love in Jesus Christ, who lived and died to bring us life. May we reveal the depth of our love as we praise and adore you. We come now humbly to confess our sins. We come before you now, O God, with hearts of sorrow, to confess what you already know, that we have failed to keep your laws. Again and again we've followed our own selfish will, rather than your holy and life-giving will for our lives. We have twisted your decrees and institutions to suit our preconceptions and interests rather than your own. Forgive us, O God, and cleanse us from hidden faults, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Hear the good news. In love, God sent Jesus to bless and redeem God's people. God forgives us our sins and restores us to new life. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture for us today is Margaret Sankey. Margaret is Reverend Andrew's wife and a member at Capel St. Mary Methodist Church, where she's a home group leader. And she's also the parish occupational therapist.
Our reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, reading selected verses. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Honour your father and your mother, so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbour. Do not desire and try to take anything that belongs to your neighbour.
Think back to your teenage years. Did you have school rules? Did you have family rules that sometimes seemed to be restrictive for no good reason? How many of us with our peers have been dared to break the rules? As teenagers growing older, we wanted to assert our independence. And we didn't want others making rules for us. Sometimes we might have said, rules were made for breaking. From the creation story, where they were given just one rule, don't eat one particular fruit, it was so easily broken by them, wanting to assert their independence from their creator. From that time onwards, people have a tendency to break rules. In the first week of this Lent series entitled Promises, we heard about Noah and God's rainbow promise to him. Then last week we saw God's promises to Abraham, the promise to be the father of many nations and eventually us. Today we catch up with the people of God as they journey from Egypt, where they were slaves. Moses has had trouble with the people. There were complaints about the journey, complaints about the food, complaints about lack of water. They arrive eventually in the desert of Sinai, and Moses climbs Mount Sinai to consult with God. He's given a set of rules we now know as the Ten Commandments. The first five focused on our relationship with God and our parents. The second five on our behaviour with one another. When I was asked to use this as a set reading for the third Sunday in Lent, the Exodus 20 reading, under the overall heading of promises, and in particular, today's title, Promised Guidance, I was a bit puzzled. How can laws set down by God be promises? Obedience to the law sounds like duty, sounds burdensome. And how do so many thou shalt nots be guidance, except in blocking certain pathways, but not necessarily guiding you into the right path? I remember that Paul, writing to the Ephesians, gives instructions to the Christian households. In chapter 6, he repeats the fifth commandment, children, obey or honour your parents, which he then goes on to describe as the first commandment with a promise. He then gives that promise, as it was read for us earlier, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life. Paul was actually inaccurate saying this was the first commandment with a promise. The second commandment had both a threat and a promise. The commandment not to make an idol for yourself had a threat of punishment to the third and fourth generations for those who make idols, but followed by a promise to those who keep the command that God will be loyal and gracious to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Wow, what a promise! If a generation is about 25 years, it's only 80 generations back to Jesus. And Matthew has a genealogy which goes from Jesus back to Abraham, and there's 42 generations listed there and named throughout. So 1,000 generations, it's 8 times more than going back to Abraham. I'm also reminded that in John's letter, he talks about commandments and describes them as not burdensome. John's first letter, chapter 5, he says this, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I've always preferred to talk about the two commandments that Jesus emphasized in Matthew 22. In answer to a Pharisee's question, or teacher of the law, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It turns the negative commandments into positive loving. If I love God, I'm not going to make an idol of him or use his name in vain. If I love my neighbour, I'm not going to kill, steal, commit adultery, testify falsely, or covet anything he has. I was struck, however, when around about the millennium, J. John, an evangelist, a canon of the Anglican Church, filled cathedrals week after week with teaching on the Ten Commandments. I attended at Chester Cathedral with about 2,500 people and also took people when they repeated it in Liverpool Cathedral. And over the 2 or 3 years, he conducted these 10-week presentations in many cities up and down in the UK. His presentation began with commandment number 10 and worked all the way backwards to the concluding week, commandment number 1. What was his reason for doing that? The Ten Commandments, he says, were originally given to the Israelites as part of the covenant agreement with God. He had created them, led their ancestors, and just recently dramatically rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He now promised to love and to guide and protect them forever. The Ten Commandments were an outline of the responses God expected from his people to that love. Let me give you an analogy. Imagine an orphan is rescued out of misery and poverty and adopted by a family. As a child settles in the new home, slowly getting used to the love and acceptance that now surrounds them, the family rules will be gradually spelled out to them. This, the child's new parents will say, lovingly, is how we do things here. The original hearers of the commandments would have understood that what was being given them were the obligations that they were now expected of them as God's rescued and adopted covenant people. They would have seen them as guidance for their relationship with God and with one another. They were, if you like, on the inside of the covenant, looking outwards. Modern men and women come from a very different position. We are strangers to the idea of a God who loves, rescues, guides, adopts, and makes covenants. We're on the outside of the covenant, looking in. For such people, to start with the first commandment, with the demand for unconditional and total worship of the one God, is too much. J. John says, "It is far easier, in my experience, for modern men and women to start in the shallows of the 10th commandment, of not being envious of what your neighbour has, before being eased into the deep waters of the first commandment, with its demand for exclusive worship." As J. John went through the 10 commandments, starting at number 10, he expounded them in the light of the New Testament, and often found them saying much more than just the simple words in Exodus 20. "I find myself agreeing that I had sinned in the context of coveting things that belonged to others, the 10th commandment. I found that I had sinned when I had sometimes told a white lie, the 9th commandment, do not lie. That I had used company stationery for my own use, the 8th commandment, do not steal. That I had had lustful thoughts about another person, the 7th commandment, do not commit adultery. That I had been very angry with someone, the 6th commandment, do not kill." And remember, Jesus said just being angry with someone is like killing them. "That I had not always honoured my parents, the 5th commandment. That I had not always observed the Sabbath rest, the 4th commandment. That I have sometimes dishonoured God, the 3rd commandment. That I have sometimes put other things as more important than my worship of God, the 2nd commandment. And finally, I've not always put my relationship with God as the number one relationship. He has sometimes taken second place or even lower." So I ended up listening to J. John and each time saying, "Guilty as charged, guilty as charged." But in the context of confessing that sin and each time being forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. It was tremendously liberating and like being bathed in God's unconditional love for me. The commandments are there to guide us into that right relationship with God and with each other. I wish I could say I've never sinned in any of those areas again, but I cannot. But I do know where to go when I realise I have sinned and can claim the promise of forgiveness that Jesus offers from the cross. Until that point that I heard J. John's preaching, I'd often wondered why Paul and John and Peter in their letters to believing Christians often listed things that I thought were pretty obvious that Christians should not be involved in. Yet they spelt them out in graphic detail. One example of many, Galatians 5, verse 19 following. "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In the study booklet that goes with the J. John exposition of the Ten Commandments, he titles each chapter with a positive alternative. Remember, they tie in with the Ten Commandments in the reverse order. So Commandment 10, do not covet. He entitles, find true contentment. For don't lie, hold to the truth. For don't steal, prosper with a clear conscience. Don't commit adultery, a fair proof your relationships. Don't murder, manage your anger. Honour your father and mother, keep peace with your parents. Keep the Sabbath, stop driving yourself crazy. Don't misuse God's name, he has take God seriously. Don't make idols, know the real God. And the first commandment, have no gods but God. Live by priorities. The Ten Commandments were Israel's guidance for their relationship with God and with one another, and form the backbone of the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. So J. John, in his 10 50-minute presentations, that's a total of 8 hours of each commandment to the thousands of people, resonated with them. Headlines in local papers spoke, amongst other things, of huge volumes of stolen goods being returned or paid for. The Ten Commandments are an essential guide for Christians today, interpreted through the teaching of Jesus, that we may confess our rebelliousness and sin and enter into the promise of forgiveness and fall deeper in love with God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised his presence, has promised forgiveness of sins, has promised his Holy Spirit, and promised eternal life. Amen. A prayer. Father, thank you that you've given us clear guidelines for our relationship with you and with one another. May your Holy Spirit gently remind us of those things that we need to confess before you. And may we know that we can come to the cross of Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, for helping us think about the Ten Commandments. We're called to keep all of the commandments and live into the freedom that following them brings to our lives. As I was reflecting on what Andrew said, I was thinking about how coveting relates to Lent. Lent is, of course, our annual reminder to put God first and to spend some deliberate time drawing closer to God. So as well as giving things up and using that time to read the scriptures and pray more, Lent is also about giving. Fast, pray, give. The three things for Lent was what I was taught. So perhaps instead of being concerned about coveting what others have, we should help someone that we know is struggling. So which commandment do you have the most difficulty following? And which gives you the greatest strength and hope? What can you fast from? What can you pray for? What can you give? Let's continue in song as we affirm our desire to upkeep the first commandment, to love the Lord our God. Now, this song isn't in the hymnal, but it's a lovely song and it's easy to pick up. So let's sing together. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you brought our ancestors out of Egypt and slavery and gave them laws and wisdom to order their lives. We are heirs of your promises. May we think of the Ten Commandments as a protective guardrail to keep us safe from harm and the pain of regret, or like a blanket of love warming us in the cold nights when fears and anxieties can tear at our souls. We want to be the kind of people that the commandments can describe, those who love you and those who love our neighbours. Your commandments tell us that we are the people who have one God and put you first. That is who we are. We are not people who disrespect others and kill and steal and bear false witness and covet more and more. That is not who we are. Change our hearts and shape us into the loving people and community that you call us to be. Because we have experienced your love, we come before you with confidence, bringing our needs and the needs of our world. God, in your unfailing love, hear our prayer. Today we especially lift us all up, weary of the length of time that this pandemic is going on and the lockdown is dragging on. Lord, we rejoice that some of the restrictions will be lifted soon. We pray for our school children going back to school this week and those heading back to college. We pray that you will be with us in our weariness. Give wisdom to our church leaders as they decide the best time to reopen our churches. And we pray for our country with the Brazilian strain that has reached our shores, that it will not spread. That you will give our doctors and nurses wisdom as they treat people. That we will all take good care of each other, as your laws tell us we should. We lift up our prayers to you, saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we approach the darkness surrounding the cross and the events that happened there, we've got 7 candles here. We're extinguishing 1 candle on each of the 6 Sundays in Lent, leaving us with the Christ candle, and that will be put out on Good Friday. Today we're going to put out the 3rd candle. But first, let us listen to this gospel scripture that comes early on in the Gospel of John about Jesus' righteous anger when he encounters injustice at the temple. It's read to us by Melissa Pentelo, who is Reverend Andrew's daughter and a part of Capel Methodist Church.
Our reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 2, reading verses 13 to 22. Jesus cleanses the temple. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also pulled out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
During Lent, we remember the events that led Jesus to his crucifixion.
He had come into the world to bring hope and light, but at every turn there were those who sought to extinguish that light.
He came to bring justice,
but they were more interested in lining their pockets and the letter of the law.
Jesus expressed righteous anger when he saw the temple being used as a marketplace. Pilgrims had to purchase their sacrifices as required by the religious law.
But prices were high because it was a captive market for those enterprising sellers.
Jesus upturned the tables and chased them out, upsetting the religious leaders and the traders.
A little of the light which had come into the world was snuffed out by those exploiting others.
O God of justice, on this Lenten journey, guide us towards the darkness of the cross as we trust in your promises, revealing the power of transformation and the hope of resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
Now, hopefully you have your bread and your water or something to eat and drink close by you right now. Because we come to this time of sharing together. We can't have communion over this video, but we can break bread together. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So feel the power and the presence of the risen Christ with you right now. So here in my hands is the story of God's love for us all. In the book of John, chapter 15, we read that Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you." So remember Jesus' words of love that can sustain you wherever you are. And now I invite you to pick up your glass of water. Without water, there can be no life. We were baptized by water and the Spirit into God's family. Water reminds us of the gifts of creation that God has so abundantly given us, and of the love and the grace that we've all received. So drink your water slowly, feel it flow into your body, and know that God's love is flowing into your body and soul right now. And now take your piece of bread into your hands. So John wrote in his Gospel, John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So eat the bread that you've got here today. May it be God's gift for you and remind you of God's provision for us physically and spiritually through the covenants. Remember the times that you've received the bread of life in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remember the presence of Christ in that moment. Be assured that Christ is with you in every moment of your life. Amen. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in our service today. The Sankey family, Reverend Andrew Sankey for preaching to us, Margaret Sankey and Melissa Pentelo for doing our scripture readings. And our musicians too, Elizabeth Story and Neil Hepplethwaite, and my husband Adrian Pell. It would be lovely to know who we've got worshipping with us. So above this video, if you're on the Methodistic website, is a form. You can just type your name and location and hit the red button and we'll know that you were here. Palm Sunday's coming up in a few weeks, and we want to have a palm procession. So I'm going to invite you to take some photographs of yourselves waving some leaves. Now, it doesn't have to be a palm leaf. It can be any leaf, a branch that you're waving. These were some of the ones that were taken a year ago. And I'd like you to email me your pictures by the 18th of March, and then we will put them together into a video for us to have a palm procession on Palm Sunday, the 28th of March. Next Sunday is the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's also Mothering Sunday. And Reverend Ian Gardner will be preaching for us as we hear about the words of the prophet Jeremiah, telling the people that God will put the law within them and write it on their hearts. Ian's title is Promise of the Heart. So we come now to the time in our service when we offer ourselves up to God, our time, our talents, and our treasure. So I encourage you to support your local congregation as they reach out into the community and the world. Let us pray together. God of holiness and grace, we know the words of your commandments. In our hearts, we know that following them makes life easier, not harder, fuller, not more restricted. We know there is no God greater than you. Yet we've made the silliest things our gods and have thrown our money and resources after them. As we offer our gifts this day, we bring them to you to bless and to use in ways that honour your commandments and put you first. In Christ's name, we trust and pray. Amen. We're going to finish today with number 413, Send Down the Fire of Your Justice, as we remember Jesus' advocacy for justice for all and God's guidance and wisdom for our lives. Teach us the song of your love. Teach us the way of your peace. Give us righteous souls, till your justice rolls. Call us to witness your kingdom and shine with the presence of Christ.
Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rains of your love. Come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and we shall be people of God. Call us to be your compassion. Teach us the song of your love. Give us hearts that sing. Give us deeds that ring. Make us ring with the sound of your love. Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rains of your love. Come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and we shall be people of God. Call us to learn of your mercy. Teach us the way of your peace. Give us hearts that feel. Give us hands that heal. Make us walk in the way of your peace. Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rains of your love. Come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and we shall be people of God. Call us to answer oppression. Teach us the fire of your truth. Give us righteous souls till your justice rolls. Make us burn with the fire of your truth. Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rains of your love. Come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and we shall be people of God. Call us to witness your kingdom. Give us the presence of Christ. May your holy light keep us shining bright. Ever shine with the presence of Christ. Send down the fire of your justice. Send down the rain of your love. Come send down the Spirit, breathe life in your people, and we shall be people of God. And we shall be people of God. And we shall be people of God.
May the holy wisdom of God guard your ways and guide your paths. And the blessing of God who creates, sustains and redeems be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.